and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. Another deadly mass shooting, this one in New Mexico. CBS's Matt Piper with details.
At least three people were killed and several others, including two police officers, were hurt Monday morning at a shooting in Farmington, New Mexico. Police say the 18-year-old man suspected of carrying out the attack was confronted and killed on scene. Two officers, one from the Farmington Police Department and one from New Mexico State Police, were shot and survived.
And still no word on a possible motive. A man attacked two congressional staffers with a baseball bat. It happened at Democratic Virginia Congressman Jerry Connolly's office.
We had a young intern, her first day on the job, at the reception desk. And she told him what he didn't want to hear, which was I wasn't there. I was at an event at a ribbon cutting. And he then proceeded to beat her with the bat.
The suspect is in custody. Both of the staffers were treated at the hospital and have been released. Still no deal to keep the U.S. from defaulting on its debts for the first time ever. Another meeting between President Biden and congressional leaders takes place later today.
I'm Stephen Portnoy at the White House. On the eve of another meeting here between the president and congressional leaders, House Speaker Kevin McCarthy describes himself as fearful about the state of talks.
They're not going well at all. There's no progress that I see.
McCarthy tells reporters the staff-level talks merely amount to aides moving ideas back and forth. President Biden has indicated it's still his plan to leave Washington on Wednesday for the G7 summit in Japan.
A deadly fire tore through a hostel in New Zealand. Wellington Police Commander Dean Sylvester.
The number one aspect for us, in respect to the police, is trying to work out the people who reside at this location, or people who have resided at this location, or anyone who knows anyone who resides at this location.
At least six are dead. The cause of the fire is still unknown. A teacher strike in Oakland, California is over now. KPIX TV reporter Jocelyn Moran on the deal.
The teachers union was working with the district to try to reach an agreement. At around 3 a.m., members with the Oakland Education Association walked out, announcing they had reached a tentative agreement with the following. They said they agreed to raise compensation by 15%, to add teacher librarians, as well as more school counselors, mental health services, and school nurses.
Russia has launched an intense air attack in Kyiv, firing off a combination of drones, cruise missiles, and possible ballistic missiles. The majority of the missiles were struck down by air defense. The head of the Kyiv military administration said the attack was exceptional in its density, the maximum number of attacking missiles in the shortest period of time. This is CBS News.
Need to hire quality candidates fast? You need Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT. G-O-A-T. Acronym. Stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
There's a right way and a wrong way to fight off mosquitoes. Karate chopping the air in a public place in front of your kids and their friends,
Mom,
is the wrong way. Using STEM mosquito repellent is the right way. STEM effectively repels mosquitoes by harnessing active ingredients found in plants like lemongrass and peppermint, making it safe for use as directed around people and pets. STEM, rooted in nature, optimized by science, and embarrassment-free.
What's your favorite thing about a good movie? What makes the perfect song? And what's it about the first lines of a book that will snatch our attention? If these questions intrigued your artsy interest, you don't want to miss Director's Cut on WFHR every Sunday night from 8 to 9. Your WFHR program director, James, and head of production, Seth, will be diving into the local arts and entertainment, hot topic movies, hidden gems, and more. Audience feedback and requests are encouraged for this fun and open conversation about art in all its forms. It's artists supporting artists, in their own words.
As long as there are veterans, the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks will never forget them. Throughout the year, Elks members in your community lend a hand, donate money, volunteer time to enrich the lives of this nation's veterans. It's not something these dedicated Americans feel they have to do. It's something they want to do. Join with America's veterans in saluting the efforts of your local Elks Lodge. Elks Care, Elks Share. To find a lodge nearest you, log on to elks.org. In the past, you were involved with the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks. Today, your local Elks Lodge and community needs your help more than ever. Why? Because needs for helping the youth, veterans, and our communities are greater than available resources. Please consider becoming involved again. Contact your local Elks Lodge and see how little it costs to become reinstated. Visit our website at elks.org. Elks Care, Elks Share.
A message from your Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge, number 693.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Clear skies overnight with a low of 48. Westerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Slight chance for scattered showers. Tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 77. More clouds than sun. Tomorrow night, lows level off around 41. Sunny skies Wednesday with highs in the mid-60s. Chance for scattered thunderstorms Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 54.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news talk and sports is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Guacamole is made of avocados. It's not the truth.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes.
Ticked off, tee off, this is it.
Scobody boo boo, scobody dog.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Should airlines be on the hook when they cause inconveniences for you, the passenger? 844-967-2789. We have all been there, especially lately.
Oh, boy, the last couple of years.
I mean, me as recently
as April.
Yeah. But I don't know anyone who's tried to fly in the last couple of years that has not dealt with some kind of headache of a delayed flight, a last-minute canceled flight, getting stuck in some random place. And apparently, a lot of those inconveniences... And when I say a lot, I mean 80%.
That's pretty high.
The Department of Transportation attributes almost 80% of cancellations from the first half of 2022 to airline mismanagement, like crew shortages, craft maintenance, or late arriving planes. So all those times they said it was weather, maybe it wasn't weather. And so should they be on the hook for that? When, you know, they say that there is a flight available and you book that flight, how much should they be responsible for making sure that you get to your destination? Otherwise, they have to compensate you. 844-967-2789. And of course, we're talking about this because I feel like this is a move on Biden's part that is hard to criticize.
Oh, there will be some reason.
But Biden wants airlines to pay you for your travel headaches. And there's soon to be proposed rules that would require cash compensation when airlines are responsible for a cancellation or a lengthy delay. And I think it's insane. I think it's insane that we have bailed out airlines with taxpayer money and... They, with all of their data scientists and all of their algorithms and all of their technology, that they can't be better about crew management and just like not offering flights when they can't guarantee that flight is going to be there. Like, don't put it as an option and just wait to see how full that flight gets before you see that you're going to lose money on that flight and screw the passenger. And I think there's obviously real criticisms with this, because what's to keep airlines from just passing on the cost of any of these fines that they would pay onto the consumer and onto price tickets. But I feel like there's no ramifications for them when they are just kind of like, well, sorry.
It happens.
The soonest flight we can get you on, your flight was canceled today. It's a Saturday. Soonest we can get you back to where you're supposed to be going is Monday. You know, you hear that.
I know.
And that's just like, well, that's what we can do. So then you're on the hook for buying a different flight on a different airline if you're trying to get home the day that you were supposed to get home. Like, how is that a good business, like a fair business model that any of us should subscribe to? 844-967-2789.
We have Tony on the line from Pittsville. Hey, Tony, what do you want to say?
Well, just last week, my husband and I happened to be flying down to Albuquerque to go visit his mom for graduation. Long story short, we had a connecting flight out of Dallas that it was delayed, then it got canceled. Then we had to sit and wait for two different standbys, hoping and crossing. 13 hours later,
we finally
got on a plane. We arrived in Albuquerque at like 1:30 in the morning. Mind you, we left our home at 3 a.m. to get to Minneapolis. And when I was on the verge of like tears and just breaking down, my husband kept me together. And then when he was getting beyond this stuff, I had to keep him together.
It's partnership. That's called partnership.
Don't lose it, sweetheart. Don't lose it.
And then to top it off, they didn't offer like a food voucher. Of course, they did we can get you there Friday. This was on a Wednesday. I mean, none of it was practical, realistic, helpful. And of course, they were saying, quote unquote, weather, which I don't buy. And it was just a nightmare.
Well, especially because if you're in Pittsville, obviously that's Wood County. My parents live in Wisconsin Rapids. And like, you're not close. So you're already driving to, like you said, Minneapolis. But I think if you're not going to Minneapolis, you're going to Madison or Milwaukee or Mosinee, but there's not a lot of flights out of Mosinee. So on top of everything else, you're also driving to get to the airport to only get stuck at that airport. And so are you going to out what airline it was?
It was American Airlines.
There you go.
And then on the way back, we had much better experience. We flew United. We had a connecting flight with Denver. Both times we landed like 20 minutes early. Smooth sailing, did not lose luggage. It was way better.
So I would assume, Tony, that you would support this, that airlines should have to compensate people who are inconvenienced like this.
Oh, absolutely. I think we ended up spending like $50 just on dinner because you know how airport food and drinks are outrageously priced.
Oh, yeah.
But you have to eat and drink to survive 13 hours, like, hello.
Yeah, like what else are you going to do just being stuck at the airport?
Right.
Well, yeah, so that's good to know that you, I mean, I think that, thanks so much for the call, Tony. And I think like maybe this is a more interesting conundrum. It's like, would you be willing to pay a higher ticket price knowing that if you are inconvenienced, you will be compensated? Because that's what the argument is here is. It's like, they're going to, if these rules get put into place, that airlines will then find a way to pass that price onto the ticket price. And would you be willing, it's almost like insurance at that point, right?
Right.
Of like,
right.
Cause I don't think, you know, what are the charges is like you're on the hook for up to the night of a hotel, like food vouchers, another booked flight. Like, cause that's hundreds, if not, you know, if it's two of you, that's $1,000 potentially. So it's almost like the insurance of if they screw up, you have the insurance of getting compensated for your time and you have to pay $50 extra, $100 extra on your ticket. I feel like I would do that.
Okay, consider me a skeptic.
Okay.
Because the airlines will find a way to blame weather for which they would not be held accountable. Who's going to prove this process? Is my question.
If the DOT just did this research, obviously they had, like, if they found that 80% of cancellations from the first half of 2022 were mismanagement, I don't think you can just lie to, like, they're still under the DOT. And so I don't think they can just lie about why they're canceling flights and say that that's the reason.
But I envision an enormous backlog of these cases for people trying to get compensated it's not going to be a week after you get back. That you know what I'm saying? I just think the turnaround time for this and the... They're going to put the burden of proof certainly on the flyers. So you got to keep all your receipts. And who's going to... You know what I'm saying? Who's going to go through all of this stuff?
But is it better than... I mean, so we should just keep it as it is?
No, but I just foresee some snags.
Yeah, I mean, there's always snags. I don't know. I feel like it... This is a good step as far as putting them on the hook. But what do you think? 844-967-2789. Do you think it's a good idea to implement rules that airlines who have taken our taxpayer money to be bailed out should be responsible when it's their fault a flight gets canceled or that there are long delays? Because it is just, I don't know any other business model that can work like this, where they can just screw over their customer. It's, you know, it's so much like the classic Seinfeld episode where Seinfeld's trying to get his rental car. And they're like, oh, well, we don't have that car anymore. He goes, what do you mean you don't have that car anymore? And he goes, well, he's like, I reserved it. Well, I know you reserved it, but the car is gone. He's like, that's what the reservation does. It reserves the car that I rented so that you don't. It's like a table reservation, right? Right. And so it's like the idea that, well, I booked this flight to get home on this day. The social contract is that you get me home on this day. And if you can't, why is that my responsibility? I have paid you money to get me to where I am going. And so I don't know any other business model that works where it's like, well, sorry, you're not entitled to anything except a refund for your flight.
Too bad. So sad.
Tell me I'm wrong. 844-967-2789. I know that there's probably things that would, as far as logistically how it would work, but I just think it's a step in the right direction because I think it's unbelievable that they can get away with this.
I completely agree with you. They're in such a unique position, though, right? There's only so many airlines. It's not like there's 27 you can pick from anymore.
What are the... So there's United, American, Delta, Southwest, JetBlue, Spirit.
Six?
Is that really all there is now, a six?
I mean, certainly in the U.S., there are obviously international flights. But as far as our choices now... They're kind of limited, and that's how I think, that's why they think they got you.
It's like cable companies.
Yeah.
Like, we will leave you on hold forever when you're trying to cancel, and we will tire you out, ma'am.
You'll just give up.
But also, you know, you only have so many options. I mean, Energies is a monopoly, basically. Like, this is your option, and when we raise prices, there is nowhere for you to go to get something lower. And I mean, because then your option becomes just not flying as much, which some people are choosing to do. I know I didn't fly at all last summer when all the mess was happening. And it sounds like this summer is going to be just as big of a mess.
Oh, terrific.
So when we come back, brace yourself for a summer of air travel hell. Sorry to report that to anyone who has big travel plans for this summer, but we will talk about that when we get back. You're always welcome to join the conversation. 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Big old jet.
Familiar with the three what's. What is it? What can it do for me? And what does it cost? At Country Financial, we can help you find the answers with insurance coverage to help protect what's most important to you, all at a price you can afford. So while you're juggling work and kids while trying to keep an eye on your future, we'll make sure we're one of the first ones there when you need us most. What should you do next? Call Matthew Holbrook, your Country Financial representative at 414-332-2137 and chat about your insurance needs today. 414-332-2137.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Kripescast is just the butter on my cheese.
Cockroaches, not that bad. They call them palmetto bugs in South Carolina. Same thing, you can call them up here.
Are they really palmetto bugs?
Yes. Yeah, and they're a great source of protein. They're going to be the lobsters of the future.
They also got salmonella, and they can lay like 40 eggs at once.
Well, they gotta work out a few kinks there, okay? They gotta work out a few kinks.
Kripescast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected on the Civic Media Network. CivicMedia.us.
Flying Southwest was so easy is because there was no penalty for changing your flight.
Right.
You maybe had to pay the difference of what the flight cost, if it was a more expensive flight. But as far as, it's going to be $200 just for us to change your flight. I remember whenever I knew that there could be changes in my plans, I would book Southwest over like United or something like
because
that.
Because of that option.
And so I think if you start to be a differentiator as far as your customer service, that's a perk, right? Like that's a reason why people would continue to book with you because they had a good experience versus, you know, when Tony called in before saying, you know, she's much more likely to fly with United than American Airlines.
Right.
So, but, you know, last summer when everything was such a mess, I remember listening to, I don't know, one of my podcasts, and they were saying, they'll probably get it figured out by next summer. And this is like for all these reasons, as far as still, you know, they had laid off or, you know, early retired so many crew members and flight attendants during the pandemic. And so then once we were in 2021, especially 2022, trying to scale back up the workforce.
Right.
So that was causing issues and kind of what a mess last summer was, and even the holidays were. But at some point they were predicting, but then they'll get it figured out by next year. Well, it doesn't sound like they will.
Oh, good.
So this was actually published in Axios mid-April. And they said, airlines, aviation officials, and the TSA are all telegraphing an alarming message for travelers. Flying is shaping up to be an absolute nightmare this summer.
I'm so glad because my husband and I were planning to go away at the end of summer for the first time. I haven't been on a plane since 2019.
Who knows? Oh, are you flying? You're flying international.
We will be flying international.
Are you using an international airline?
My husband is the one who does all the research, so I'm not certain at this point.
But maybe that'll be...
Better. Let's hope.
But it's unusual for all these powers to be hinting so loudly that we're in for a few months. And this was published after I was part of the Southwest snafu. But the TSA expects a potential record number of travelers to pass through the country's airports this summer. And the quote from David Pekoski, who is the administrator of the TSA, says, I expect that we're going to see very, very, very strong demand for the way all the way through the summertime. And that's what we're preparing for. It'll be a challenge, but we've faced this challenge in prior years and we've been successful at it. Meanwhile, several major airlines are trimming summertime service amid concerns about air traffic control staffing levels. Staffing at a key New York area control facility, for instance, is about half of their target levels.
That's not encouraging.
Nationwide, staffing is about 80%. And so, And that's only part of the problem, I guess. Some of it's a remnant of 2019, which slowed hiring and training process. But yeah, it's, you know, prepare as they might, it looks increasingly likely that the country's airlines and airports are going to be absolutely slammed this summer, thrown a thunderstorm or a hurricane, and you've got a recipe for travel disaster.
Oh, so much to look forward to.
So, yeah. I mean, so basically the only advice is get to the airport early, prepare for delays and cancellations, and have a plan B.
And be, I know it's, try and be patient. I just don't like people screaming at people when it's not.
Yes.
You're yelling at the wrong people, and that really bothers me.
Well, and like, that's what's so frustrating is because the people you end up talking to are the front lines who are not the people making the decisions.
Or all the money.
And so being cognizant of where you're placing your anger is certainly important. All right. Well, we have a stacked lineup of guests today. I'm so excited. It's a variety of different topics. But when we come back, we're going to be talking to Dr. Jill Underley, the state superintendent of public instruction, about Teacher Appreciation Week and how teachers need more than appreciation. They actually need action. So stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Ladies and gentlemen, children at heart and of all ages,
start your day laughing with Mornings on WFHR.
7 to 10, Monday through Friday, join your host James and the best co-hosts in radio.
Keep up to date on local news, sports, and weather.
Along with Misty's Menu, Birthday and Anniversary Club, and Friday's Culver's Star of the Day.
Join the conversation weekdays 7 to 10 for Mornings on WFHR. We're serious comedy to start your day.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible.
My Grandpa Lou is the reason why my dad and I started racing, and I'm really proud to follow in his tracks. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. I've learned a lot on this journey with my Grandpa Lou, and the memories of my grandpa will always be with me. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Talking about Alzheimer's can be really tough, but if you notice something, have a conversation with your loved one. Encourage them to see a doctor or offer to go with them. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. The Alzheimer's Association provides care, support, and research to help you take control of the situation with your family and manage the disease together. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time-to-talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
I'm John O'Hurley, and I support Paralyzed Veterans of America because our heroes have sacrificed so much for our independence.
I had just come home. I had noticed my legs were swollen. Next thing I know, it was 3 weeks later. I was paralyzed. PVA has brought me back to life.
While parachuting with my platoon, my parachute didn't open. It left me paralyzed. I just don't think my family would be as happy as they are without the support that I received from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
For more than 75 years, Paralyzed Veterans of America has kept a promise to never leave a fallen hero behind. That's why Paralyzed Veterans of America is providing specialized medical care, life-changing treatments, benefits our heroes earned, the jobs they want, and the accessible vehicles and homes they need. Our paralyzed veterans have helped us live the lives we enjoy today. It's our turn to give them the best lives possible. To learn more, go to PVA.org today.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This time next week, I'll be sick in bed with West Nile virus, thanks to a mosquito bite right in front of my house.
In 8 minutes, my daughter will be in an ambulance, having an asthma attack triggered by cockroaches.
I'm going to be bitten by a tick today. I won't even know it until Lyme disease turns my life upside down.
Learn how to protect your family at pestworld.org. A public service message from the National Pest Management Association and the CDC.
Tired of low or no connectivity? Do you live in BTN, Bug Tussle Nowhere? We want to talk to you. Bug Tussle brings high-speed internet to the places others don't. No contracts, no data caps. Truly unlimited internet. Call 877-227-0924.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Clear skies overnight with a low of 48. Westerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Slight chance for scattered showers. Tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 77. More clouds than sun. Tomorrow night, lows level off around 41. Sunny skies Wednesday with highs in the mid-60s. Chance for scattered thunderstorms Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 54.
We are here for you. If you or a veteran in your life is experiencing thoughts of suicide, dial 988, then press 1 to reach the Veterans Crisis Line.
In the morning and out to school, the teacher is teaching the golden rule. American history and practical math. You study them hard and hoping to pass. Working your fingers right down to the bone.
Back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. And as we said yesterday, it is Teacher Appreciation Week, and we love teachers here. And so we are so excited to have our next guest here who wants to remind you that not only do teachers need your appreciation, they also need action, and action in the form of funding in our budget. And so we are so happy to have Superintendent of Public Instruction, Dr. Jill Underley, is here. How are you doing today?
I'm doing really well, Kristen. Thanks so much. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, we're so excited to have you here. So I actually, you know, recently, this was such a cool civics project that you did at Mount Horeb High School. They basically conducted a budgetary survey with you of asking questions about what is needed. And I certainly didn't get to do anything like that in high school, but it seems like such a tangible thing that even students in high school can see where the gaps are as far as when it comes to their teachers and what needs to be funded. And so is that like a regular thing that a lot of high schools are doing that right now?
I honestly don't know, but I would hope so. I mean, it was basically a legislative hearing and they pretended they were the legislators and they were questioning me. I was in the hot seat. So it was really cool. And the takeaway from it was I told them they all need to run for office one day. And a lot of them said that they want to. They want to run for school board. They want to run for state office. They want to become teachers. They're really public service minded. And that's really gives me a lot of hope.
Yeah, it was a really cool thing to hear as far as such a tangible exercise. And so I guess as we are in Teacher Appreciation Week, we're rounding out the school year. You know, I think on the one side, I really appreciated a recent op-ed you put out as far as, yes, on we need to appreciate our teachers, but we also need action. And so I guess since we, you know, I think from joint finance hearings, there are a lot of people in the public who are saying, please fund our schools. And so what are you hoping that what of that message do you hope is getting heard as far as how our budget's going to shake out?
Well, I hope they listen to all of it, but I'll just start with something I read, or, you know, a friend of mine had posted on her Facebook or social media that if there is a week named after you for appreciation, you're not paid enough.
And nurses, executive assistants, teachers.
Yeah. We don't just get one day, we get a whole freaking week. And in that regard, I mean, you think about if we didn't have teachers, if we didn't have people working in our schools, if we didn't have, you know, those individuals who cared about our kids, I mean, what would it look like? What would society look like? And I think, you know, to the reason why public schools were started, it's a true public service. Yep. It's to ensure that, you know, you don't have to have money in order to get a good education, that it's equal, right? It shouldn't matter where you live. Unfortunately, we've been getting farther away from that idea.
And so as far as what are the things that teachers need most right now, would you say, as far as whether it's salary, whether it's more resources in the schools, mental health help, more people in the schools?
It's all the above, right?
Yeah.
Because we've been going for so long with this Band-Aid approach. You know, even when I was a teacher, I think back to what I needed. I needed time, you know, I needed people to give me their time, to mentor me. I needed to know that I was important, because then they wouldn't, you know, through their investment in me, whether it was, you know, ensuring that, you know, I had a good work-life balance, or maybe I was getting the training I needed. I mean, there were things that they did, you know, providing me a mentor. I felt fortunate, you know, 24 years ago when I started teaching that people got it better back then, you know. But I also felt, you know, like parents in the community were more supportive. It was not so internal as, you know, in schools. I think schools do a pretty good job, even still today, you know, internally recognizing and appreciating their staff. It's the external side of things that teachers need. And we're dealing with so much more externally in our schools than we have been in the past 20 years. When you mentioned like the mental health, you know, that wasn't a feature in schools. Food service programs, schools more and more are, you know, putting together food banks, you know, or backpack programs so kids can take food home. And you find that teachers are the ones that are coordinating all of this, right? And, you know, teachers are doing after school programs and clubs because they know that there's certain kids that don't have either that enrichment opportunity because their families are unable to provide it, or they need, you know, someplace to be that's safe after school. And so teachers are the ones stepping up. I know that when, you know, a kid comes to school and doesn't have a winter coat or boots, it's the teachers. Mm-hmm. Or the, you know, the school staff that are acknowledging this and pulling together resources, you know, to get, you know, these kids these things. And so it's really that, you know, teachers are filling this need in society that goes beyond educating our kids, and they've never asked for recognition for this. They do it because it's who they are as people. But I think our communities need to start acknowledging this and also questioning why we're putting this additional burden on the staff when it's really the state's obligation to fund our schools.
Absolutely. We're talking to Dr. Jill Underly, who is the state superintendent of public instruction, about teachers and Teacher Appreciation Week and some of the actions we can take to appreciate our teachers more. And, you know, we've talked to a lot of people about teachers and about kind of the change over time. But as someone who's spent her entire career in education, what has been the cultural shift? Like, we do, as you just kind of said, there is this inside of a lot of the schools, the administration and the teachers, they all are in it, they're in it together and they kind of know what it's like. But where the support kind of starts to crumble or not be as strong is in the community, in maybe the school board. I mean, it's different everywhere, but as far as, and some of the just attitudes towards teachers, and like, how have you seen that change over your career?
Yeah, it's been, I feel like it's been rather gradual. But I also, it's like, I just question, it's just, I think it's larger in society. I mean, I think society in general, we've become more isolated. We're less community minded. I know some communities are going to be better at it than others, but you know, like, how many people volunteer anymore? And, you know, go do, you know, things in the community, like picking up litter or, you know, park cleanup days, or, you know, there's lots of things people do, but I don't know very many people outside of my, you know, teacher friends who also volunteer. I mean, it seems like there's this distinguishment, like we can distinguish between those who are community service minded and they also go into public service versus those who are rather individualistic. And I'm not saying I think our society has just expected more of people. We work longer hours. Mm-hmm. We, you know, and it's not just public sector, it's private sector too. People feel like they don't have time, you know, for family anymore. I mean, there's a lot of things. I mean, how many people still go out with their friends? You know, it's just, I think as a society, we've drifted away from that. And so we're seeing that now, those pieces of it, that care and that empathy and still taking care of people still has to happen, but we're finding that transferred to the schools. But there's other things too, you know, like when you think about teacher appreciation, a lot of teachers aren't able to afford to live in the communities anymore where they teach, you know,
or have just one job.
Right. Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like when I was a teacher or when I was growing up, my teachers lived in the village I went to school in. And then when I was a teacher, I bought a house in the town where I was teaching. And it's just kind of like, we've gotten away from that too, because outside things in society of, you know, people can't afford to buy a house anymore on the salary of a teacher. Or if they, you know, have a partner who works someplace else, maybe they live in that community. You know, it's just that we're seeing the structures that were in place or the traditions that went along with teaching, like way back then when we had one room schoolhouses, teachers often lived with somebody in the community. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's, we've gotten away from that. And it's just, it's a lot, you know, we expect a lot of teachers to, when you think about even extracurriculars, you know, coaching, you know, or sponsoring clubs, it's very, you know, little money, and then it's a lot more time. But somehow society is like, well, you're a teacher, we expect you to do these things. And sometimes they expect them to do them without pay. And they have families of their own. You know, and they have got kids who, if they're not in school yet, they're in daycare. And how do we make any of that work anymore on what we pay teachers?
Dr. Underly, I guess I had hoped that during the pandemic, when the schools were closed and parents were the ones who were responsible for taking over their children's education, that once we came out of that, there would have been more appreciation for what teachers do because the parents had to do it firsthand.
Like, yeah. I don't remember how to do math.
Right? I mean, I couldn't do fourth grade math.
I think there was, though. I think initially there was. But then it somehow politically got turned around, yeah. Right? Because then people started getting angry. Well, why am I doing this? you know, why are my kids at home? And then they started turning it around to being like, well, because the school is closed. Well, and then when the school is like, well, we're going to reopen, but we're going to wear masks. It's like people just glommed onto that and then made schools the enemy because they were trying to do what they needed to do to keep people safe. And at the time, before there was, you know, a vaccine, you know, it was hurting the people who were the oldest in our communities. And a lot of times those were teachers in our schools, right? So, yeah.
Well, to end on a good note, I have to imagine that the annual exercise of announcing the five different Wisconsin Teachers of the Year is one of the highlights of your job. We talked a little bit about it yesterday. Is there still only three out of the five have been announced so far?
We announced number four yesterday.
Okay.
And yeah, number four, she was a math teacher, fourth grade in Cedar Grove, Belgium. And that's, you know, so it was a middle school, Cedar Grove, Belgium middle school, fourth grade. And I was spacing out her name. This is Winkle Zimmerman.
There we go.
Is her last name. So, yeah. So that number four was yesterday and number five will be yet this week.
Awesome.
So yeah, it's really exciting. And that re-energizes us, right?
That's what I imagine.
It's the one of the very best parts of my job. I mean, I have lots of very good parts, you know, visiting schools, seeing kids playing, you know, at water tables with kindergartners, but certainly going to schools and awarding the Teachers of the Year, because my favorite part, you know, obviously it's kind of like your big moment, you know, like with the Oprah moment, and you're a Teacher of the Year, but it's the part when you see the kids' faces.
Yeah.
The kids. I think we get kind of jaded sometimes thinking like older kids are just gonna be like, oh, whatever, this isn't fun. But the older kids are just as, or maybe even more excited than the younger kids when their favorite teacher is getting rewarded.
Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful.
That's really fun to hear. But then we were kicking around this yesterday. I imagine that some of the best teachers, when they're getting interviewed for Teacher of the Year, aren't very good at bragging about themselves. Like, I imagine they're terrible at self-promotion.
They're very humble, honestly. They're very humble. And they always, you know, talk about the things, though, like I shared earlier, that matter. You know, like the support that they get from their fellow teachers, the support they get from the administrators who you know, are there to help guide, but also support them and give them opportunities. They're grateful to the community. They're grateful to the school board. And so it's like you can see the common characteristics of these individuals in their environments.
Well, all the more reason that we should be appreciative of them and demand that they get funded in this next budget. But Dr. Jill Enderle, thank you for spending time with us today. We'll have to have you back soon.
Yeah, absolutely. It was fun. Thank you.
Have a great day. All right. Well, we have a lot coming up in the next hour as far as more talks about teachers, more talks about teenagers. When we come back, I'm going to talk about out of Gaming County, which is where I was last night. This is As Goes Wisconsin. The beat of the drums loud and bold.
Democracy doesn't have to be boring. Founded by revolutionary German exiles in 1853, the Milwaukee Turners at Turner Hall offer gymnastics, rock climbing, yoga, meaningful forums, training, and countless ways to have fun and matter to Milwaukee. Whether you hang upside down or hang out, they've got you covered. Membership is only $35 a year. Be a part of Milwaukee's past, present, and future. Visit them at MilwaukeeTurners.org. That's MilwaukeeTurners.org. Or find them on Facebook or Instagram.
would you reside? Not quite to Canada, Great Lakes are by her side. Home of Aldo, Leopold, Big Sky, and Orson Welles.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. And we have a packed show, basically, for the rest of today. When we come back at noon, we're going to be talking to Dr. Megan Moreno, who is the leader of the Social Media and Adolescent Research Team at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine, which I'm so excited to talk to her because I feel like we keep having these conversations around teenagers and social media, and here's a group that is specifically studying this. And I think one of the big messages that I've heard her in different interviews say is teenagers need to be part of this conversation.
We shouldn't just do it around them?
Yes. It can't just be parents talking to government officials that are talking to the tech companies. Like, the teenagers have agency, right? They're not toddlers. And so I'm really excited to hear more about the research that they've done. And also, you know, the good things that social media brings to kids and like, what is the balance? If she got to ask and kind of dictate any changes that these platforms would make, what would she do? So that's coming up at 12. And at 12:30, we're talking to Erin Los Cotraro, who is the founder of She Should Run.
Love it.
Which, if you have not heard of She Should Run, it is a nonpartisan nonprofit group that works to dramatically increase the number of women considering to run for public office.
And you don't have to be named Mark or Mike.
And you don't have to. I told that joke last night.
Oh, you did?
So last night, I was humbled to be asked to go speak at the Democratic Party of Outagamie County. They're kind of, it was a fundraiser. It was a celebration in Appleton. And I was among very good company. Representative Lee Snodgrass spoke, who represents Appleton. We've had her on the show before. Ben
yes.
Wickler was there.
We've talked to Ben before,
chairman of the state Democratic Party. Sarah Godlewski was there. Got to hear more about what she's trying to shake up with the being the new Secretary of State. We've had her on the show before. And then there was me. And I made that joke, too. I was like, I don't know why I'm here. Like, I don't represent any of your districts or the state. I don't run for, like, a nonprofit. I just, you know, talk a lot. But it was a really, really fun time. It was a packed house. But one of the things, and we joked about that as far as, you know, it was Lee, me, Sarah speaking. And I kind of off the cuff was like, you know, I don't know if you get this kind of leadership speaking at different like Republican fundraisers, considering in their postmortem, there's more guys named Mark quoted than there are women. So,
yeah. You know. Yeah,
I will not forget that.
I'm sure you won't. And your speech went over well?
Speech went over well. I talked about, it was interesting because I, shout out to Emily Cephos, who is the chairwoman of the Democratic Party of Outagamie County, who's just, she's called in the show before. She called in when we were talking about Tennessee, because she and her husband used to live there before they moved back to Wisconsin. And she is a dynamo. Like, she has done such a good job there. But it was, first of all, it was packed. I couldn't believe how many people were there, and of people of all different ages.
Great.
There was a Democratic Party of Lawrence University, so there was some students there. There was fans of the show, fans of the TikToks in general.
Awesome.
But it was very, very cool. And I was like, well, what do you want me to talk about? Because, again, I'm not like in charge of anything. And she's like, well, I would love for you to talk about why you do what you do. And I kind of had this moment of, all right, well, what, like, digging for that answer.
Why do I do what I do?
Where did it start? And I ended up going back and thinking about 2016. Which for me, even more than COVID, COVID is what got me back to Wisconsin. So certainly, as I had this whole metaphor about Sliding Doors. Do you remember that movie?
I do.
So I kind of started with that. I was like, does anyone? And so people did remember that movie. But the concept of, you know, whether or not you miss a train or make your train can like change your life. And I would say the big moments for me were a little bit more impressionable. Subtle? No, no, less, a lot less subtle than missing a train.
Okay.
It was like COVID or Donald Trump getting elected. And, but I think about it so much, like had Hillary Clinton been elected, I don't know if I would have ever gotten into like activism, politics, learning about all this stuff. Like, I feel like I kind of would have continued on my merry way of, oh, the other people have this handled. Like, doop-de-doo.
They got it. Right?
Things are just kind of bouncing along.
Right.
Like, 8 years of Obama, now Hillary's in there. Like, everything's being fine. And I don't know if I would have stuck around and like continued to work in tech. Maybe I would have done something else. But it really, and so I read my very, I like so many people, you know, was very upset after Donald Trump got elected and went to Facebook to air my
grievances.
Not my grievances, but my reflection. And so much of my reflection back then, and I still, and I hadn't read it in years, and then I did again for the speech, and I read it in the speech last night, was not so much angry at other people, but realizing like, oh, I have done nothing. I didn't volunteer for any campaigns. I didn't donate. I didn't even know who like my local candidates were before I walked into the booth. And in that moment, realizing like, oh, like I need to be more involved. This isn't just a problem of like, how could like blame it on people who voted for Trump? Like, where have I been? And so it was kind of cool. It was cool to reflect on that and then look at where I'm at 6.5 years later and be like, oh, I actually make good on that moment and that feeling. Like, I'm still doing the things that I said I was going to do instead of being like, I'm going to get back to my life now. And so, but
well,
no.
I applaud you for taking ownership of that, which is applicable to so many of us. What did I do?
Yeah.
Did I knock on doors? Was I part of a campaign? No.
Yeah. And so, I do think that is sometimes it is easier to blame, to shift any embarrassment or shame around what you did or did not do and put that on someone else and project it somewhere else. And I think there's no power in that, though. So yeah, it was a very fun time. So I am available if you would like me to MC or speak at any of your events. Hit me up, askuswisconsin at civicmedia.us, because I love being on a stage, let's be honest. All right, when we come back, Dr. Megan Moreno will be here. We're so excited to talk to her about social media and teens. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
So roll out the barrel and strike up the band. Heaven's praise Lombardi, the pack is back again. And I'm Wisconsin, the Badgers, they say it's the old Wisconsin Jubilee.
Okay, hit that squeeze box. Oh yeah, this hot dad is so hot I need a bubbler on parched grapes all Friday.
Now everything's bigger in Texas, but look, you can't catch a perch on a 5-inch hook. And I'm no stranger to Tennessee whiskey. My old fashioned's got Wisconsin branded. Pacific Coast got sun for days. But California's dreaming of Sheboygan's waves.
Okay, so yeah, it's more of a drunken venison meat sweats dreaming. But you know, you forgot to.
Smiles are powerful. They spread joy, laughter, and hope. But not everyone gets a fair chance at a smile. Every 3 minutes, a baby is born with a cleft, making it difficult to talk, hear, eat, and even breathe. In America, most children with clefts receive immediate care, but others around the world may never have access to the surgery they need to thrive. Smile Train is changing that. As the world's largest cleft charity, our sustainable model has sponsored more than 1.5 million smiles. We offer training and financial support to local medical professionals so they can provide life-changing surgery and other essential services at no cost to families.
It's more than to see these children, to hear the difference that we make. And for me, being born with a cleft lip and palate, knowing what they went through is so life-changing for me.
Help us change the world one smile at a time. To learn more, visit
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the home of the Cranberry